and welcome to the Amy Edwards Show. I'm your host, Amy Edwards, and I am kind of running around today. And it's just so nice to get to slow down together and be present in this space and expand, because I drew a card kind of like honing into today's episode, and it said expansiveness. And I was like, hell yeah. And I drew another one and it said risk. And I was like, you know what? Anytime we expand, it feels a little risky. And that's cool. I love that. And I like viewing it as this beautiful expansion and what's going to happen, because risk can be negative, but it can also be really positive and really beautiful. So I'm so happy that you're here. I am so ecstatic to welcome today's guest. I'm a guest on her podcast also, like right around this time. I think she's releasing it yesterday. And so excited to have our like back and forth, because I so enjoyed being on her podcast. I was like, please be on mine, because she has so much wonderful knowledge to share. So please join me in welcoming Elise Recupero. Elise is a spiritual teacher and the founder of Fabulously Spiritual, which I love the title of, and all about approachable spirituality for the modern individual, which it's very modern because she's created an app to bring this to people, which I have had the pleasure of using. So thank you for that, Elise, and welcome. And your specialty is Kundalini. And yeah. I am very excited to talk about that today, because you discovered Kundalini over 16 years ago, and you say it's one of the most complete multifaceted practices that you've ever discovered. And I have been a yoga practicer for over 30 years. I started in college in like 93, and I love it so much, but I have not dived into Kundalini, and I don't feel like I know enough about it. So I would really love to learn more today, and maybe how we can, you know, in a modern way, apply that to our lives. So welcome. What do you want to start with?
Thank you.
Want to speak to that?
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for having me, Amy. I'm so excited to be here. So Kundalini. I have been practicing Kundalini for over 16 years, and Kundalini is the yoga of awareness. And I kind of stumbled on it by accident. And I also don't think that there's, like you said, there's enough awareness around it, or the people that do know it maybe have a misconception of what it is, because it's not a regular type of yoga practice.
It's its own thing. Yes.
Yeah. It's a little weird from the outsider looking in. But now, since we really see all this breathwork practice kind of coming out and people starting to do it, now Kundalini is kind of getting its limelight a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And maybe I should just start about how it has changed me so much. So I grew up in quite a traumatic household. And there was a lot of trauma that I just had, and I had so many energetic blockages in my life. And I had anxiety my whole entire life. And, you know, you get to a point where sometimes you don't know you're unhappy until you get happy.
Because you don't know any different. Why
exactly.
Would you know? Even you see it, but you don't know, like,
yeah.
How you feel it. Yeah.
Yeah. And I didn't know that I had anxiety literally for my whole entire life until I was probably like in my late teens, early 20s. And, you know, my life, because it was quite dramatic when I was a child, I quickly got into drugs and alcohol when I was in my early teens, and I got in trouble, and all of these things happened, and I had to go to therapy and all these things. And this woman kind of started my spiritual journey without me even realizing. She kind of planted a couple of things in my head that I didn't really realize she was teaching me, but it kind of just triggered this remembrance in me. That's all I can really say that it was. Anyone that knows trauma knows that kids that are raised in trauma usually are highly intuitive. It is actually kind of a byproduct of being in trauma, because you awaken senses in yourself for protection in some way. And, you know, I just want to first preface, you know, the trauma my house was, you know, I grew up with two parents that literally were fighting every single day of my life. I don't ever remember a day that there wasn't screaming and like just being scared. So
that breaks my heart.
Yeah, that's okay. And at full circle, you know, I forgive everyone.
That's right.
And it actually created the person that I am today.
That's right. So we find gratitude,
so,
right?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So I'm totally okay with it. You know, we've made peace. but it led me into my journey. And, you know, I was, like I said, always intuitive, very, very intuitive, very into feeling the energy of the room. Just because of that experience of growing up, it was just something that always was turned on within me. So I stumbled into Kundalini by accident, the first class, and I ended up in a class and I was like, I was doing, you know, vinyasa yoga, regular yoga. And I went to this class. I remember just leaving being like, I feel really good, but that class was really weird. Like, what were we doing? And then it was probably like a year or 6 months later that I ended up really in the class again because of heartbreak. I broke up with a boyfriend. I was devastated. I was in college at the time. And I was already kind of starting my spiritual journey from my therapist. And I started reading, like at 18, I started reading like The Power of Now and A Whole New World. And The Secret, you know, I started doing like all those things. And then I ended up in Kundalini class and I was so devastated by this breakup because I remember thinking in the back of the class, like, I was so nice. Like, what is wrong with me of why he wanted to leave me? You know, what is wrong with me? And that was the whole reason why I ended up in this class. And I sat for probably 3 months going to the class regularly in the back of the class, bawling my eyes out, not knowing why I was crying, not even because of the breakup, just things started just moving out of me, which when I became a teacher later on, I realized, you know, that is just a part of the process that happens for people. It's a normal thing. So I just started healing very quickly from this practice and feeling like all of these kind of little traumas and big traumas start to leave me. And my perspective went from this to this very quickly. And what Kundalini does is it's called the yoga of awareness. And what it does is it awakens the dormant Kundalini energy that lives dormant at the base of the spine. It raises through the chakras. And as it raises through the chakras, it does the clearing work. And that's why people have these reactions or, you know, emotional reactions to things. And it's extremely powerful and it works very quickly. And if you have any questions, you can jump in too.
I love that it works quickly too.
Yeah.
That was one of my questions. Yeah.
Yeah. Like people can see a difference, I would say, within 3 months of practice, but you can see a difference within the first class. Like I always tell people, give it 3 times, take 3 classes and then have your judgment, because the first class you're going to come in, you're going to go, what the fuck is this class? This is so weird. Why are these people are freaks? What are they doing? And then the second class, you're going to kind of go, okay, well, I let me open my eyes. What are they doing now? And you're going to kind of get the movement and the rhythm a little bit. And then the third class, you're going to be like, okay, I kind of get it now, because it's a rhythmic class and you're going to be able to sink in a little bit more and you're going to be able to have an experience. And why I say it's the most complete practice, first of all, it's thousands of years old. It was a secret practice for thousands of years. It was only passed on from master to master. There's a reason why they didn't want people to have these powers. And what it does is it is the practice for tuning your nervous system. And I teach so much about the nervous system because I want people to understand what it does. There are so many facets to this practice. So there's mudras, hand position. There's eye focus to create pressure, like with into your third eye point, you know, your which is your pituitary gland or your pineal gland. You roll your eyes up a certain way. You're trying to put pressure on these certain glands in your body. There's mantra, chanting. There's breath work, certain sequences of breath. There's arm positions that actually use sacred geometry of the body. So all of these things put together in a certain sequence create a certain effect. And I like to explain to people, the easiest way I can describe it to someone, and this is what I always tell my students when they, if they're new, it's like doing acupuncture to yourself through breath and movement. So, you know, if you go
into that, I love that.
Yeah. And you know, if you go into an acupuncture appointment, they put the needle here, 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 whatever, because you're trying to work on this certain thing. And then at the end, you kind of feel like you're floating, like you could feel the energy kind of moving. It's like that. And in a way. And what we do are called kriyas. So they're a set of exercises in a certain sequence. I don't make any of them up. They're ancient practices that are like a recipe or a code. And you do these exercises in these certain sequences to have a certain experience. And the yogis realized thousands of years ago, wow, if I do this, this sequence, this is what happens. Or the same with mantra. If I chant these words in this way, my tongue hits the upper palate of my mouth, which has meridian points in your mouth, and this creates a certain experience. So when I chant the word Wahe Guru over and over again, Wahe Guru, Wahe Guru, Wahe Guru, it's the experience of ecstasy. If you do that for an hour, tell me what happens to you.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I didn't know about the meridians on the roof of your mouth. That's really cool. Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't they want everyone to know this?
Because as you, it pretty much takes you out of the matrix. That's the best way I can describe it.
That you seems get like a good thing. That seems like what we would want.
We would people. Want, but there's people that have always been in control. So they do not want you to know that you can have total control over your whole entire being. And it goes very beyond that as well, meaning that I personally believe that the junk DNA that we they say that we can't access, this actually turns it on because you can have it turns on those very like mystical what are they called? There's certain there's a word for like these occult powers. So it's like people that can control the weather. You know, like those yogis that they say control the weather, they can levitate, they can do all these things. There's teachers that can control the weather. Like, this is real. I'm not even joking. I've never seen anyone levitate. But, you know, the most similar practice to Kundalini is probably the Tibetan type of meditation that they do, like what monks do. And there's different ones. There's so many lineages of everything, but they're very similar in a way that they use the same thing. That's why they chant. When you chant, what happens is, all you hear is the vagus nerve now. You know, people talk about the vagus nerve all the time. The vagus nerve is connected to your parasympathetic side of your nervous system. So that rest and relax, the rest and digest that we all want to feel all the time, you have to stimulate the vagus nerve. When you chant, what happens is it starts to vibrate your vagus nerve, which is like a cord in your body. So you have 72 strings, like an instrument in your body, but the main tuning fork is the vagus nerve. So when you learn how to vibrate the vagus nerve, you start to tune all the other strings. And when you tune these strings, it's a code. You create a certain effect in your body, and it's extremely powerful. You have outer body experiences, like the DMT, that you can access that easy by chanting. But there's also certain types of codes to turn on certain chemicals in your body. So when you chant or do certain breathwork sequences, that's why I always teach them as codes. I try to explain it to people that it's the most approachable and not so like mystical, you know?
Yeah. So I like that because I've always thought, oh, you do get in a trance-like state from chanting.
Yeah.
But I guess I didn't think about it any further. I just thought like, that's it. You know, I didn't think about what might be beneath that and causing it.
Yeah, exactly.
Weird. I don't know why I didn't think about that.
And you know, what's funny is that I didn't look into it for a long time, even though I was practicing for so long, because it's just a practice based on experience. Like I can To be honest, like I can explain kind of the science behind it in a mm-hmm. way. I'm not a scientific person, but I'm more of an energy person. Like I explain things in more of an abstract way. But where was I going with that?
I think you were talking about the experience of it.
Oh, okay. Yes. Mm-hmm. You have to experience it. It's not something that it's easy to explain, to understand if you actually don't mm-hmm. do it. So for many years, I didn't even look at what was really happening. And it says that in the teachings too, is that you don't really even need to know the science of what's happening. Just have the experience of it. And when you start to have the experience of it, it starts to awaken things inside of you. And like I said, it brings your lens from this to, oh, wow. Okay. Now I can see that. Now I understand that. And then the more you do it, the more you expand your lens. And that's the awakening process. You start
is
to
that,
expand.
Is that what happened? That's what happened to you after the relationship breakup and you felt mm-hmm. like you were opening. What did that feel like for you? What did that look like?
Well, first of all, I was very disciplined. Mm-hmm. And it's a practice of discipline. Like, yeah, you can have an experience just like that, just like you would go to like one of those breathwork, like holotropic breathwork classes, and you have like a very profound experience. You can have that, but to keep the energy up and to have like a full true awakening, it takes daily practice and discipline to do. And what happened to me, is a couple things. Number one, my perspective on myself started to change. Like I started to just naturally bring in more self-love, and I never felt that before. Mm-hmm. I would say that my senses, and what I mean by senses, and this is what Kundalini does as well, is that it turns on your subtle body, your subtle aspects, so your energetic bodies that surround you. So you start to get access to this field that you might have been unaware of before, and it becomes a living part of you where it's like an extension of you. I want you to think about it like, you know how they say, like, I don't know if it's dogs or cats, that their whiskers are that long so like they can feel more. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like that. It's like you learn how to tap into this field so you can feel more outside of you, like it's a part of you. Like I can pick up on what's going over there because my radar is much more turned on.
Say that we have that auric field that goes out yes. like a couple feet. And then there's even yeah. something past that. I learned that in yeah. Reiki.
Yep.
I can't mm-hmm. think of what it's called. But yeah, and that's super interesting. Why wouldn't we? You yes. know, I mean, like we're energetic mm-hmm. beings. Why
exactly.
wouldn't it make sense?
Yeah. And like, and then you have different parts of, so like in Kundalini, we believe in what's called 10 bodies. And there's like your radiance, your subtle body, your pranic body, which is your breath capacity. There's your arc line. So women have two arc lines. So you know how in like Catholic paintings, when they show a halo, it's not like this. It looks like this, like a golden arch.
It's a radiance of light, really.
Yes, like, but yeah. it's an arch. It goes over the head like this. It actually mm-hmm. goes from earlobe to earlobe. Mm-hmm. So that is what the arc line looks like. And then women have two. They also have one from nipple to nipple because that's how you bond with a child when you're breastfeeding. That's where you bond. And then there's like the auric field, which is, you know, really big, and it can extend up to 9 feet. And
oh,
there's,
wow.
yeah. And I mean, if you, I used to study with masters, and when I would feel like when a master would kind of like walk in a room, you could feel it because their energy was so big. Like it was like I can't explain it any other way. It just like you felt the energy walk by mm-hmm. you.
Oh, wait, are we rocking this nipple to nipple thing all the time or?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Women have it. Yes.
Oh, shit. Like,
yeah.
Yep. Can you speak on that a little more? Like what's, I don't know
yes.
what's going on there.
So the arc line is also a place that, we hold, our, like some of our karmic, relationships. Like ooh. If you slept with someone, the mm-hmm. pattern is held within your energy, and to clear, and what they say is that you take on those karma. So like if you have a child, you know, the Kundalini way, I'm not like a religious Kundalini person. I just believe in the practice just because it works, but I'm going to explain it to you in this sort of way. But so the arc line there, when you're pregnant, you're actually supposed to do a meditation that clears your arc line. And it goes like this. It's like you're moving water up and over your head. And there's a chant with it. And it's to clear the karmic patterns and relationships from your past. So if you were with someone else that you don't really like, if you have your child, some of that imprint of that person is actually in your child's energy. Isn't sure. that kind of freaking I mean, scary?
It is, but I did this it was like a vaginal like clearing thing.
Oh wow.
A few years back and I was like, what came out, Elise, was so wild. Some people had told me about it and I was like, I'm going to try it. And I mean, afterward I got like just infections and everything just came out. Like it was wow. just, it was wild.
Was it like a yoni?
Yes, it was like a, or, it wasn't a steam. It was like
energetic clearing.
It was like an herbal little, almost like a tampon. It was like a little ball that you inserted and left in there for like however long, a few hours or a day or whatever it was. And then you take it out and you did it twice, I think. I know it was really weird. I wouldn't really recommend it because it was wild. But what came out was this clearing. And that's what it was about. It was about like, you know, and I don't know if it was that or not. Mm-hmm. I think that just having the intention, you probably could clear the energy, like you're saying, if you really intentionally, you know, chant and tune into that energy. But it's wild. You're connecting with people. We're picking things up. We're holding them.
Yes, we do. We do. We hold it in our field and we don't realize. Mm-hmm. And like to think that I might have passed something on to my kids that I'm like, oh God, you know. Oh,
sorry. Sorry, everybody.
Yeah.
So, know what? You mentioned your kids. Do you teach them some of these practices? How's that? How old are they again?
Yeah. So I have two boys, 7 and 9. And my, I've been doing it since before they were born, obviously, but they were like in my teacher trainings. They were, you know, like in the womb, like,
and probably passed that on. So maybe that counteracted any of that.
Yeah, I know. I hope so. So my youngest, which is interesting, is I was teaching a lot when I was pregnant with my youngest. I was teaching 4 classes a week, and doing that takes a lot of energy out of you, which is good. I enjoyed doing it and made me also feel better. But I had amazing pregnancies with both. Like I wasn't swollen. I wasn't like phenomenal pregnancies. And my second, when I was teaching so much, I was chanting a lot. And I used to see this old Asian acupuncturist, and he used to tell me, what are you doing? Like you don't have any swelling on your ankles, like anything. But I had acne really bad and I had sciatica. So I was trying to go to see him and I said, no, I chant. He goes, you know the secret. And I said, I mean, I didn't know that it was a secret, but he goes, that is the secret. It's chanting. Like when you chant with the baby in the womb, it does something. So funny enough that when my youngest was born, he was, what is it called? In call, like in the sack. So,
wow.
Like, and when I was giving birth, it popped right when he was coming out. But when I was giving birth, my doctor was like, don't push so hard. I've never seen this. This happens to like one in like 100,000 births or something like that. So,
what
was so
mean?
Interesting.
What is it like? Well, why do you, what's your theory on that?
Well, supposedly an in-call birth is a very mystical child.
Oh.
Yeah.
And do you notice that in him? What's his name?
His name is Christian.
Christian.
Yeah. I mean, he has a lot of wisdom at a very young age when he wants, you know, but he does. Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's so much to be said for sound frequencies and, you know, what those... how impactful those can be. Humming, even just like simple things, music, why we're attracted to all these sound frequencies.
Yes.
And I think that sometimes we can discount those as not as impactful as something we see or something we feel, even though you can feel sound frequencies. But I just think that they get kind of the short end of the stick sometimes. So
yeah,
incorporating chanting, like I haven't done it enough. I would like to do it more. And
yeah, especially if you love to sing. I mean,
right.
Yeah, it's just so it brings you, and it's different because when you're singing something that like you write, although it's beautiful and cathartic, it's a part of you. But when you're chanting the same thing over and over again, it puts you in a loop. So and the chanting is also part of the practice because it tricks your mind. So that's why like people that do, what's the meditation that like the silent one for 20 minutes? Oh my God. And they get a secret mantra.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God. What's it called? It's like the most famous, whatever. I'll think of it. So because it tricks your mind to stay on track. So you're not thinking about your to-do list and you're not thinking whatever, but these mantras in Kundalini are a language called Gurmukhi, which isn't spoken anymore. I'm pretty sure it's not. And it was the language based on meditation. So because they found that these words, when they were spoken, they hit the upper palate in a certain way and it stimulates certain points of your brain. So if you think of your upper palate of your mouth like a keyboard to a piano, you're saying like HUD. Like if you say the word HUD, H-A-R, but it's pronounced like H-U-D, HUD. Yeah, your tongue hits the roof of your mouth, but also your navel point automatically pulls in.
HUD. Yeah, HUD.
Yeah. So yeah. The navel point is a center of 72,000 nerve endings of the body. That's where you start to stimulate the Kundalini energy to rise. So when you start to pound that by just chanting HUD, HUD, and then you do a little navel pull with it, you're actually pushing the energy. So it's something that you do without even knowing that you're doing. You know what I mean?
Are you ready to up-level your pleasure practice? I have in mind, and the main things that have helped me are the tools that I've found from Wands. Wands creates luxurious products that encourage us all to honor our body, celebrate our sexuality, and live in pleasure, with more pleasure all the time. One of my favorites, if you listen to this show, then you probably already know, is the cervix wand. Wands has trademarked their number one best-selling glass pleasure wand. It's for vaginal and anal de-armoring, and it's designed for cervical and G-spot stimulation. And let me tell you, it's incredible. It's helped thousands of women become more connected to their bodies and their pleasure, and supports them to heal pelvic pain through self-yoni massage and helps awaken more pleasure. Just recently, I've ordered the Venus Wand, another trademarked wand from Wands, and it's designed to activate and awaken the G-spot and more. Also, don't miss one of their new offerings, which are free bleed blankets that can be used as waterproof intimacy blankets. They have a beautiful selection now available. But take a look around at wands.com, that's W-A-A-N-D-S, because they have a huge selection of incredible items like yoni eggs, crystal pleasure wands in amethyst, black obsidian, anything that your heart desires, and so much more. Check them out at wands.com, that's W-A-A-N-D-S.com, and use my link in the show notes to get 10% off, or simply enter my code, Amy Edwards, at checkout. Again, that's W-A-A-N-D-S, wands.com. Y'all, I have started using higher dose products, and I am such a fan. You know, I don't put anything on this podcast that I am not 100% completely behind. And I have a special discount code for you for all higher dose products. I'm so excited. If you don't know, Higher Dose is a wellness company. They have wellness tech products, they have tools, they have supplements, and they have body care. They have so many things that are hot right now too, that are really biohacking and up-leveling our lives at home, which is really cool. They have an infrared sauna blanket. They have an infrared PEMF mat that I'm so excited to be sharing about soon. One of my favorites though is the red light face mask. It stimulates collagen, it activates glowing skin, reduces fine lines, regenerates cells, and it's soft. It's not like one of the hard plastic ones, so you can kind of move it around on your body, which I've been doing, and I am seeing amazing results. I am absolutely addicted to it. I use it every single night, and I'm using it in conjunction with one of their other products, the Glow Serum, and I'm very picky about what I put on my skin, and I am loving the Glow Serum. It's specially formulated to plump and hydrate and stimulate radiant skin, which that's the goal. They have a ton of other products too. Magnesium ingestibles, magnesium body care, which has a healing oil and a serotonin soap that you can use in your bath, which I've been using too. It boosts your mood, enhances your skin, and deepens your detox, gets you calmed down. Anyway, I'm a fan, so I'm so excited to offer you 15% off using my code MAGIC15. Go to the show notes. You can click through on the link right there, or if you go to Higher Dose, just enter the code MAGIC15 and you'll get 15% off. Higher Dose has been featured in Goop, Glamour, Elle, Vogue, Bazaar, Allure, basically you name it. And there's a reason why. So go check it out. It's at higherdose.com and enter my code MAGIC15 for 15% off.
Did you know that according to a study, 87% of women who have hair extensions lie about having them? And almost 2/3 of women have done some kind of hair extension at some point. So if you do the math, it's a lot. This show is all about letting go of judgments. So if you don't want to tell, I'm not going to judge you. And if you want to know the best secret for hair extensions anywhere around, it's right here in Austin, Texas at The Collective ATX. They have the most natural, lightweight, comfortable hair on the market, and they specialize in no damage to your natural hair like traditional hair extension methods, which I've tried them all. And I didn't even know that your hair is automatically damaged if the extensions are placed anywhere below your ears. Crazy, right? My hair is actually growing in and getting healthier now too. Plus, they keep all their extensions in-house, meaning that you don't have to wait at all. Not to mention color. I'm so picky. I did it myself for years because no one can get it right until now. They were named a top 200 salon by Salon Today in 2023. They've changed my hair journey. Let them change yours. The Collective ATX. Link is in the show notes. Tell them I sent you.
What percentage of your day are you chanting either out loud or in your mind?
Not a lot anymore.
No?
No, because I do when I teach. I like to chant when I teach, mm-hmm. but I'm not as religious with my practice like I used to be, to be honest.
I think but that's part of the discipline, at least for me, mm-hmm. in my habits and practices, is like I was so disciplined that then you have the freedom. And mm-hmm. There's like a quote from maybe Charlie Parker or some jazz musician. He's like, you play the scales over and over and over, you master that, and mm-hmm. then you forget all that shit and just play. And I'm like, that's what the discipline does. That's the payoff.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's so beautiful. Did you have one of those like big Kundalini awakenings? I've heard different people talk about those.
Yes and no. The practice of Kundalini makes it happen, but because you do the practice, it makes it happen in the safest way possible, put it that way. That's why
I've heard some things. Yeah.
Well, like drugs, they say like, do not mix drugs with this practice. Do not whatever, because you can have a psychotic, you know, episode because of the energy coming up. And I would say, yes, what happens when the energy starts to rise, and it happened to me recently too, because when I started to get deeper into the practice again, very recently, I started feeling the energy rise faster. Like I can feel it now. Like, and I've been through so many ups and downs with it over the years that I'm like, oh, I'm doing it again. Here we go. You know? Uh-huh. So, what happens is, I had so many students go through it that this is my recommendation that I always tell people now is don't react to anything that happens, because what's going to happen is you're going to feel like you go through a total mind fuck, meaning that your ego dies and your ego tries to separate itself. Your ego is separating itself and it's like detaching and it doesn't want to detach. So what happens is you feel like you don't belong around any of your friends anymore. Like, no. And when I mean that, it's like you feel like I need a new group of friends. Like they're lower vibration. You know, you start to feel mm-hmm. like that. You're gonna feel like you need a divorce because like this person does not understand who I am anymore. You're gonna your mind starts to go like a little crazy in the sense that you start to react. You're gonna feel like you want to run away to Costa Rica and live in the mm-hmm. woods. That's what it feels like. But if you get past that, you, everything settles down and you have so much love and compassion for other people. It's just that, and it could be a month that you're feeling like that. Or, and you also feel like, I'm so tired, I just need to sleep all day. Or like, I have so much energy and anxiety comes up. And I just don't know what to do with this energy. I feel so uncomfortable in my body. And when that happens, it's just like, try to just take long walks. Stop doing the practice because, or do a more gentle practice, because if you're doing something hard, you're stimulating the energy to keep going. So it's like you're putting fuel into the fire and it's going to get like more uncomfortable.
Yeah, so it's almost like that, that this concept of everything is okay. We're just having a new experience.
Yeah, yeah. And your ego's trying to hold on to it and it freaks out.
Oh, that
so
ego.
That's the uncomfortable thing that's happening.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? You also have mentioned something about spiritual ego. And this might be a tangent, but I was going to see if you'd speak to that really quick.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I definitely had a spiritual ego for a really long time. Probably
is
like
that.
Like
is that
years.
What I experience living in Austin all the time?
Probably
are showing off their spirituality. Is that it?
Yeah, I it's and it's a very tricky place to be because it happens kind of naturally, and it's hard to get out of. So,
like, define that. Define what you're talking about.
Okay, so spiritual ego is like when you start to have an awakening and experience a spiritual experience, you're like God Almighty. It's like, no, I know. No, you don't know. You haven't done Kundalini for 16 years. I have. Like, I'm the teacher.
Yeah, totally.
You know, you start to do that. Like, no, no, no. Like, but my master, my, like, it's that sort of thing.
Like
that,
a ranking. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, and what also happens, which is the really kind of dark side to it, is that, again, spirit Kundalini has things that happen that are, you know, like not levitating and stuff like that, but like very high spiritual experiences that you
elevated
can
elevated experiences,
very right? elevated, like you understand that you have spiritual powers. So when you get stuck with a spiritual ego and you're experiencing those things, you're screwed because like you really believe you're God. Like,
can it do does it do the opposite of what you're trying to achieve? Or like...
yeah, kind of. But you're so high and all about mighty about yourself that you start to think that, you know, people are below you because they don't know and you have the power. They don't have power. And that's why it's danger. That's why I think for a long time it wasn't taught to people because the dark side of it is that, you know, people can gain powers. And this is real. Like, people really gain spiritual powers.
And like cult leaders. I mean.
Yes, exactly.
The perfect example, probably.
Yep. And it can be used for negative.
Yeah. What would you say the remedy of that is?
For me, God threw me on my ass a million times and brought me down to my depths over and over again and made me feel like a human, meaning that, like, throw me back in addiction, throw me back in a very human experience again so I can realize I am not better than anyone else and I have the same shit as everyone else has. Mm-hmm. And it made me have another, when I was ready to have an awakening again, you know, so to speak, go through the process again, become more humble in it and realize that everyone has it. You know?
Well, if you don't want to go through all that stuff, what do you think you could do to avoid it? I was thinking perhaps, you know, shutting your mouth and listening, you know, really adhering to that might be one maybe practice or modality where we, if you want to stay, I guess, vigilant,
grounded,
you know, vigilant and grounded and just like not falling into all those human things of ego, you know, all those things, all those ego traps, then, you know, I don't know, maybe there's some practices around that. I don't know what that would be.
Yeah. Honestly, Amy, I think it just takes time. And I think it's just part of the cycle of experience.
I think you're right.
Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. But from my experience of it, I realized I had to go through that.
Yeah.
Like, I had to experience that and I had to come down from that and I had to experienced something in a different way, and I had to come down from that. And I realized that's why my trajectory over these years has really been like this and not like this, like some people. And again, and here's the other piece of it, is that I live in not a new age place. And I live like, I don't live in an ashram. I mean, like, I don't live in like Austin or LA or something. Like, I live in Rhode Island. Like, there's not a lot of, you know, people like that floating around in my world. But I also think that, you know, people's trajectory is different based on, like, you know, obviously it's destiny, but like, you know, some people choose to go live in an ashram and they only want to be in that frequency, and it is different there. Like, I don't really think that there are a lot of people walking around with spiritual egos because they live in a very religious way. And I think when you're combining, you know, a very normal, let's say normal life with spirituality, that's when it can, there's this comparison that happens. Because like,
for again, sure, you're not living in a bubble, which an ashram is a wonderful place, or whatever, you know, sanctity you're living in, or whatever you want to, sanctuary might be a better word. But yeah, I mean, like, it's a little bit of a bubble. And then, you know, I love that meme. That's like something like, if you think you're really spiritual, go be with your family for a week or whatever it is. And so, yeah, you know, those are the real times when we're able to, okay, am I walking the walk? Because I feel like it's pretty easy in an ashram or convent or whatever your religion and your devotion is, you know, that's like, it's hard, but at the same time.
They're in a bubble.
Totally. Yeah.
But they have their place. They're supposed to be there, you know, that's their destiny.
Absolutely. I mean, it's cool. It's just, there's a whole world out there of other things that we can experience. And can we really walk the walk and get out of that spiritual ego? I know, I've just been listening to this book called The Courage to Be Disliked. Have you listened to it?
No, but that sounds good.
It's pretty good. It's Adlerian psychology and Adlerian philosophy. And so a lot of it is about horizontal relationships versus vertical relationships. And when you say spiritual ego, that reminds me of like these vertical relationships where I'm perceiving, oh, you are above me in Kundalini, right? Like, and so we're constantly gauging where we fall in these rather than living in this more horizontal way. And I think I like that a lot. Like, just accepting here we all are in this humanity rather than getting caught up in that spiritual ego.
Yeah, I love that. And you know, what I found with that too is that that's where the trouble lies in any sort of spirituality, is because they put someone on a pedestal, and that's where they become the guru, and they manipulate you.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's, and luckily I really never was there. So here's the dark side to Kundalini, is the, I don't know if you know or heard or whatever, but Yogi Bhajan, who's the teacher that brought it over here, it came out like probably like 4 or 5 years ago, maybe 6, I don't know, that obviously he was doing stuff he wasn't supposed to, and like, whatever, I don't know all the stuff, but there were people, and this is where Kundalini gets a bad name, is that it looks very culty. You know, people wear all white, they wear the turbans, they wear all the things, you know, they do these certain things because that's the practice. You were supposed to do that as a teacher. You have to sign a teacher contract, which I did. And I felt like I signed my life away or something. And I struggled with for years that I freaking signed something, because I'm like, did I just sign up for a cult? Yeah. So for years, I struggled that I signed my name on some sort of thing that as a teacher, I wasn't allowed to do this. I wasn't allowed to drink. I wasn't allowed to do this. I wasn't allowed to. So I literally had so much like almost religious guilt for such a long time, thinking that like, I'm a fraud. I can't teach because I'm a human. Wow. Like, I'm going to have a glass of wine with my husband. Am I have to hide this from people? You know, I used to think that.
Were you signing it? Committing for the rest of your life or for the time that you're a teacher?
I have no idea, but I put my name on something. I put my name on something to say that I wasn't allowed to do any of these things.
Right. Luckily, it wasn't legally binding. So.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But
wow. Wow. Yeah.
So he fell from grace, which was in my opinion, the best thing that ever happened. Because it, for once, all these people that kissed his feet and worshiped him, which thank God I never did. I was always like, when I got into Kundalini, I didn't become a teacher for 6 years. Because I kept being like, do I trust these people? Like but the practice was so powerful for me that I kept doing it. So I kind of was always in one foot in, one foot out. That's why I called myself fabulously spiritual, because I'm like, I'm spiritual, but I don't know about them, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm gonna be that. So, you know, all of these people were so up in arms that their leader, their guru, did all these things. And I was kind of like, you were worshiping him. Like, that was the problem. And for me, I thought it was the greatest thing ever, because I'm like, he's a human. Guess what? I'm a human too. And that's when I started my business. Nice. That's when I actually finally came out and did it. Because
that's horizontalness, right? That's that, like, we're human. Guess what? You're human too, you know?
And exactly. Like,
rather than living up on that pedestal. And I like that a lot. And then look at the impact that it had on you, because it almost gave you more permission, I guess, to make it your own. Like, it's exactly. Okay. Because look what happened there. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And like you're saying, like, making it my own because there's rules with it, which I also didn't like. You know, there is a religious component to it, in a sense, that I just did not like at all. But again, I always found the practice so powerful. So I was like, you know, I'm going to teach it my way, because I don't like how, you know, there's rules that you can't be friends with teachers, because there is actually a pedestal in Kundalini saying, like, that as a teacher, your job is to show almost, not that you're perfect, but that you hold this level of standard, and you have to resonate with that energy so you uplift the students. So you're not supposed to be friends with them, because if they knew who you were as a person, they might be like, wow, I can do whatever I want. I don't have to fall. You know what I mean?
She's human.
Yeah, exactly. And I never liked that.
Yeah, you know, I was just reading something today. I'm sure it was like a meme or something, but it was it was talking about, oh my God, I just lost it. Shit. Oh, it was talking about rules. And, you know, I feel like just, God, there's just constant bombardment of like, this is how you're supposed to eat. And this is how you're supposed to do this. And this is how you're supposed to do this. And I'm like, quit acting like everything is one size fits all. And it was talking about everything is not. And that's one of the things I talk about in this show, is like, take what works, leave the rest. It's okay. Exactly. Find what works for you, because we are not all the same. Yes, you have these systems that have been developed over thousands of years, but that doesn't mean that you can't tweak them.
Exactly. Yeah.
There's no Kundalini police coming to get you.
I know.
Thank God for your contract.
I thought there was once upon a time. I didn't know.
I know. And you had to live in that world of breaking out of, and that's almost that risk and expansiveness, right?
Yeah.
Breaking out of that and then going like, oh my gosh, it's everything's still okay. I'm still here, it's wild. Yeah.
Well, it's funny, because for many years, so I think I told you when we were talking before, that I'm not a big drinker. Like, I'll have a glass of wine, whatever, but alcohol is not my first thing. I actually prefer pot. Okay. I would, like, if I would choose anything, that's what it would be for me, because it's just more expansive for me. I go into energy and it feels like it's more expansive. So put it this way, with the rules, I broke every rule of Kundalini on purpose. Because it said, don't do this. I was like, well, I'm going to do it and see what happens.
I love that.
Yeah. And what I found through my, again, 16-year journey of like experimenting of, you know what? What if I put myself in that lower state that I used to be? How quickly can I get out of that again? Now that I know this practice, what happens to me when I get out of that again? And, you know, what I found is, some of the scriptures that they write and in the teachings, it is true, you know, and I had to experience that for myself, of what it does to your brain, you know, why they say not to do it, because it stops spinal fluid, and the it does something to the spinal fluid and the fluid in your brain, and when you smoke pot. So it kind of, and it also what it does is it your subtleties, your sensitivities that you experience when you do practice, that goes away. So you can't really feel that as much. And when I would come back and start to do my practice again, meaning that like I would stop smoking and I'd be like, you know what, let me start again with my practice.
Yeah,
I would feel how heavy it was and how hard it was for me to kind of get out of this cloud. I was in like a very dark cloud. And not dark as in like depressed, but like it was heavy and I would get headaches when I'd practice.
Wow.
So yeah, because my brain was trying to kind of reconfigure itself, light up the places again that I originally lit up when I was meditating, but they were turned off when I was not doing it and smoking pot.
Wow. So do you ever smoke pot anymore?
I mean, now that I'm practicing again, no, because I really don't mix the two together. But sometimes I'm like, you know what? For 2 months, I don't feel like practicing right now. And I'm just going to live my life without judgment. And I'm going to do whatever I want. And, you know, for a long time, I didn't even do that. The thought of it, I would have tremendous guilt and I couldn't get over it. And again, not until all the stuff happened with him that I was like, I can do whatever I want. Doesn't matter. Nice.
Well, but that is ultimately that freedom. I mean, we're going to have times that come up in our life where we need to just live. I've been kind of going through one now, and I haven't been on my meditation practice like I was. I moved to a new house and I've been doing other stuff or whatever. And sometimes I just sit there and I just stare out the window. And you know what? So what? You know, I'm like giving myself grace around it. I'm not going to beat myself up, because I think that's actually the worst thing that we can do is that shame, that that the toxicity of self-judgment, right? Instead of self-love and self-grace. So I think that's really cool. It must trip you out a little bit to look back and go, wow, look at this evolution that I've had. And
it's constantly evolving and again going up and down. And I just again throughout the years I realized that dropping the judgment and bringing in resiliency has been the greatest lesson of all, of like, how resilient can I be when I just want to experience life, you know, how, and again, not have judgment of whatever. And when I do want to go to those deeper, darker places, you know, how can I fully be in that place without guilt?
Yeah.
Because that was another thing, is that like, when I was doing that, I felt guilty until like probably a year or two ago, where I kind of was in a place that I said, you know what, if I'm going to go there, let me like really go there and see what happens. And I started to finally use marijuana instead of recreationally, that like I did when I was much younger, was actually as a plant medicine. And for me, what happens is when you do a lot of meditation, the high is very powerful. It almost becomes like a psychedelic for me.
For sure. And yeah.
And I would use it as like a very cathartic experience, because I never did that before.
Right.
You know, I never like used it in a very like medicinal sense, where I was like, you know what, let me see if I actually kind of brought myself into a meditation right now in this experience, what happens? And I was able to break up some stuff that I never was able to otherwise. That were really dark and deep.
Yeah, I've talked to a cannabis coach, Ryan Sprague, on this show, and he talks a lot about getting that intentionality within it, and how many times, you know, you're using it, but many people are using it recreationally. It's fascinating, too, when you get intentional with it. And he talks about the feminine nature of it and that it needs that guidance of that intentionality, which I found super fascinating.
Yeah. And when I learned how to do that for myself, it just opened up so much other healing avenues for me when I was not using it. Like, I was able to bring that frequency out. And like, even today in my meditation, I was kind of like, you know, you learn how to hold that experience when you're sober and you can start to move energy in a different way.
Which I think is the idea. right?
It is.
It's, yeah. It's like being able to do that mm-hmm. when we choose and, you know, having life be a psychedelic experience.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, mm-hmm. so let's talk some about actual practices. So yeah. I know you have a lot on your app, but like if you just met someone and they said, tell me what to do, what yeah. where can I start? What would you tell them?
Yeah. So since I've been teaching now for 10 years, I've just seen an evolution of people really not having the time or really wanting to do the work, to be honest with you. So
imagine that.
Yeah, what, I know.
Want it to be easy?
Okay. Yeah. So I'm guilty
of that,
yeah,
a little bit.
Well,
not in all things, but in Kundalini, I'm like, give me yeah. the shortcut.
Yeah. Most people want the shortcut. So I'll show you something right now. I mean, you probably know this already because I teach this one, but what works the nervous system is the most powerful practices. It's because it's what makes you feel amazing. It what yeah. makes you feel whole and complete and in control of your being. And, you know, when you have control over your breath, you feel like very expansive and radiant. Like, who doesn't want to feel that, right?
Right.
So if you just put your arms out and flex your wrists, and if you in, both arms will be out, but you can't see me the whole frame. So
I'm doing it.
Inhale up, exhale forward, inhale up, exhale back. And it's in and out through your nose. Yeah, you can
right.
make it
exhale
really slow.
Exhale when you turn, right?
Yep. Inhale up, exhale forward, inhale up, exhale back. This actually changes the chemistry of your brain fluid. You can do it for 3 minutes and just sit after with your eyes closed. And it's really powerful. And
it's
another
on your
one,
app, too.
Yeah.
You do this on your
yeah.
app. Yes.
And yep. And another one is if you sit here and pull your middle finger up and down. So it's
okay.
Inhale up, exhale down.
Does it matter which arm I do that
both
with?
Arms both arms out.
Both arms out. So middle finger to like the center of my hand.
Yeah.
Up and
really
down. Do I inhale in and exhale
inhale
out?
Inhale up, exhale down. Inhale up, exhale down. That for 3 minutes. Again, works the nervous system. Yeah.
I'm sitting here doing it right now.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And then you can sit down with your eyes closed and just meditate after and just feel the changes. And it happens quick. So you can just do that for 3 minutes and you're good.
Good. I love that. I like mm-hmm. something that people can take away and feel like that's manageable. That's
yeah.
something that I can actually incorporate because mm-hmm. I don't even know where I'm going to find a Kundalini
yeah.
class or
yeah.
do I have to go on YouTube or whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't know if YouTube mm-hmm. would have the same power as
yeah.
an in-person class. Does it?
Yeah. I mean,
maybe your app does.
Yeah.
I mean,
group energy is always more powerful, but
agreed.
Listen, it works. It works if you just do it. You
yeah.
know? The other thing that I started teaching, which is kind of the new direction that I'm going, is that I really wanted to give people the power to not only access their nervous system quickly and help to strengthen it, but tap into their heart frequency, because the heart frequency is the thing that's going to change the world. If people do not know how to access their heart and bring the energy out of their head and into their body, which Kundalini practice does, but again, people don't have time and they don't really want to spend that long of a time doing the things that get you there. I spent probably the past year trying to figure out the shortcut for people. And I realized, and I'm writing a book about it, so that's why I'm going to share it. But
great.
I realized if you just say this mantra, the book's going to be called 8 Beautiful Words.
I love it.
I love my life. My life loves me.
Oh, my God.
I love my life. My life loves me.
Elise, that's on repeat in my head.
Yeah.
I love life. Life loves me. I mean,
yeah.
I say that when I'm falling asleep. I
yeah.
say it when I wake up in the morning. Oh my God.
Yeah.
I don't say
yeah.
it in 8 words. I think
yeah.
I say it in 6.
Yeah.
But holy shit. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. I feel really validated right now.
But if you close your eyes and say it from your heart, it activates your heart chakra.
Well, I'm doing it all
yeah.
the time.
Yeah. And then you can, but what I realized is through that, you can bring it to any hard circumstance in your life that where you feel tension, it automatically alchemizes the tension in your body. And like, I use an example of when I'm sure you've probably experienced this because you have kids as well, but I was watching my son a couple years ago play baseball And I don't know any parent that their kid is not good at sports. You like literally sit and you're holding your chair. Like you can barely yeah. watch them. You're like, oh my God, I can't. Like, what is this kid doing? And you like want to run out on the field and be like, stop, you know? So I started to, anytime I felt tense, I just started to bring this mantra to it. And automatically I got rid of the negative energy within myself, but the whole situation changed in front of my eyes. So we
How did
can
it change.
Like he stopped doing what he was doing. It's like,
really?
Yeah. It's like you can start to alchemize things in your life by using this mantra, by just changing the energy within yourself.
Wow.
By opening yeah. your heart center, I agree. Holding space.
Yeah.
Because what that does is it gives you the ability to hold space for someone without mm-hmm. judgment. And again, you're not in your head anymore. You're in your feeling. So mm-hmm. whatever in our head and we're being logical and thinking about things, we try to manipulate things, you know, we got to cut the head off. You got to go move from down here. This is where we get in trouble.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's when you're like cringing, like, should I run up there and help him? Should yeah. I do something? Should mm-hmm. I text the coach, you know,
yeah.
whatever it is. And
yeah.
Instead, it is very nervous system tied too. It's that relaxation, mm-hmm. like because I've had that sense many times, and I'm like, ah, look at me, why can't I relax? And so, mm-hmm. yeah, and then you're yeah. like, this is life,
yeah.
So, oh, that's a good one. I love yeah. that. And congrats on this book. That's exciting.
Thank you. It's a work in progress, but it's
what isn't?
Yeah, I know. But it's gonna be a gift to show people how to do energy work.
I love that.
In a very approachable way for someone that's not like a woo-woo person. And I feel like that is my greatest gift to the world, is that I understand that, but how I can tell someone that it's really approachable and we can kind of meet for someone that doesn't really live in that world. And they'll be like, oh, okay, I get how to do that now.
Maybe that's one of the benefits of where you live, right? You're encountering yeah. people like that all the time. You're like, how mm-hmm. would I, how mm-hmm. would I help someone understand this
yeah.
in a really mm-hmm. like non-off-putting way, right?
Yeah, yeah.
When you said energy work too, one of the things I wanted to ask you was, do you have any hacks or simple things that you are always a go-to for you when you want to clear energy, when you can feel some stagnation, or something that you would tell someone to do if they're feeling just like a stagnant energy?
Yeah. I mean, the first one that we all probably know is cold shower, which is a good one just for quick, like wake up clear.
Or any shower, frankly,
yeah,
to me.
Yes.
Any
yeah,
shower.
That's true.
yeah.
Well, again, the reason why it said Kundalini was complete is that hydrotherapy is a part of Kundalini practice as well.
Oh.
So the cold shower is actually a practice from Kundalini yoga.
Huh.
Yeah. And there's a way you do it too, that like we don't do cold plunging. There's a way you cold shower, but anyway, and I can explain that too, but,
Do you do it?
Yeah, I do. I don't do it every day. I used to, but, mm-hmm. yeah, I do dry brushing first and I do the cold shower. Okay. And there's a way to massage your calves with like the top of your feet. You don't put your top of your thighs in, you don't put the top of your head in, because supposedly there's a calcium magnesium balance in your thigh, in the bone. And when you put it under cold water, it does something to it. So
wild. Okay.
I don't know. That's what's written. but yeah. So what I do is when I feel like, so I had this recently, and I also used my mantra to break up the energy of like sticky, almost the best way I can describe it is like jealousy, competitive, like that sticky, yucky energy. I don't like to be like that with anyone, but I can feel sometimes when there's a cord attached to me. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about.
I do. Absolutely.
Yeah. So when I feel that, what I do is I sit with it, number one, and I really feel that cord. And then I will bring in this mantra and I will massage the cord. First, I start in my heart. I open the heart center and then I bring the I love my life loves me to that negative cord. And then I bring it to them, because what I find is once I start to bring it to them, I actually see the whole picture of what's really going on with them and why, like you're able to start to see all the facets of the energy of why they're feeling that way or projecting that. And once you kind of alchemize and neutralize that energy with them, it's gone because you have the compassion and understanding now. So you were just able to move your lens from this to this and say, okay, I can hold space for you now.
That is so good.
Yeah.
Yes. What a wonderful practice. Because I've had those times when I sense it. And that to me strikes me almost as a form of prayer, but it's almost like prayer action, you know, really energetic prayer action or something like that. So that's really, really cool.
What do you like to do? I'm just curious.
I just got asked this when I was recording yesterday, and it comes out next week, but a shower is just one of my main ones.
Okay.
Just I like things that don't require certain, you know, tools or anything like that. Mm-hmm. Anything that you can go to just right there is what I like the best. I like stepping out in nature, just like really simple state changes. And and for me, so many times it's like, just get in the shower. Like that is like... Yeah. So many times I've been sitting there like, why am I dragging? Why do I feel like shit? And then I'll do that, you know, and it's as simple as that. And so like, I think that we can make it to be way more complicated than it has to be.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right. So my answer for that would also be a bath then.
I'm a bath girl.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, as we're drawing up on time, and I just want to turn it over to you. Is there anything that we missed that you really wanted to talk about today that we could now have a conversation about? Or is there anything that you want to reiterate or anything on your heart that you want to talk about?
Yeah. I would just say the one thing that I share a lot is nervous system practices. And you know, I like to talk about this in a way for manifestation. And I think manifestation right now is such a trendy topic, trendy
big
word.
Time.
Yeah, that I'm kind of like, I really don't, not that I don't like it anymore, but I'm kind of finding that it's so superficial and it's kind of bothering me now. And I'm like, why do people just, they're really... making this word really dirty and making it seem like it's supposed to be something for like just getting a mansion or like buying that G-Wagon or like,
seven figure business coaches or something.
Yes. Oh my God, I can't. So, so I like to explain it over and over again. It's just the power of expansion. You know, it's the practice of expansion. And the only way through expansion is the nervous system, because your nervous system is your capacity to be able to hold energy. So your job as a manifesting person, you just want to be able to hold more energy. That's it. You want to go from this small cup to hold this small cup, and it should have no attachment to any outcome. You know, like you can have an idea of something that you want in your life. Beautiful. Yeah, I want to write a book. Like I have desires and goals, but I'm not being like, I need to make $1 million writing this book. You know, I have to like let any of that go and say, what is my gift and my service? And how can I continue to expand my energy in those places that are locked to be able to receive? And for me, the way I teach that is by teaching people how to strengthen their nervous system. Because what I also am finding as a huge trendy word right now is nervous system regulation. And
Yeah.
And great. I understand that we all want to, nervous system regulation is just like having a cup of alcohol when you're stressed, you know, like a glass of wine when you're stressed. And what I mean by that is that if you're just going to like have a cup of tea because you want to feel cozy and warm, you're not actually getting the root of the problem. You're not actually strengthening that, that container. You're not widening that container. You're just putting a Band-Aid over it for a moment. And and that's fine. Like if that makes you comfortable so you can get through the day, I get it. Like I'm all for those things. But what you want to think about is how do you widen? How do you it comes from strength. Like you cannot make a diamond. To make a diamond, you have to put tremendous pressure. That's the only way to describe it. It takes tremendous strength and pressure. But you know, there's a balance. Like, you don't have to do killer practices to be able to do it, but you have to think of nervous system strength to be able to manifest bigger and create a bigger container. So
I love that. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
So that's what I teach. And I have kind of a revolving course, and I'm going to be adding a little bit to it because I think some of the arms are too hard for some people. I've got a couple of suggestions being like, can we do less arms?
It is hard. It's, yeah. It's, you know, yeah. What? It's challenging, mm-hmm. or I'd rather just say it's challenging.
Yeah. No,
it really is challenging. Mm-hmm. And I've done it some, and, mm-hmm. and then I haven't done it some, and I've had to start over. So on my left side, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's, but it's still really cool to try it. I had a friend a few years ago, my friend Bijou, and she went to a retreat in Costa Rica and had her first real Kundalini experience, mm-hmm. where she did a meditation with her arms in the air. And I remember her saying, my arms were in the air and I had a full psychedelic experience. And I was like,
yeah,
I'm interested. Yeah. And so when this was what you do, I was like, oh, mm-hmm. I'm paying attention. This mm-hmm. This can activate something. So let's see what happens. So
yeah,
I haven't experienced that exact thing, but I mm-hmm. definitely experienced something. So
yeah. Yeah. It mm-hmm. works. It works quickly. But I'm going to add to it a little bit for like an option two for people. But cool. The problem is I don't want to have a long practice for anyone. I want to have something that's really impactful where they kind of like get it like just 3 minutes, 7 minutes, whatever it is. So, it's really affordable for anyone. It's $44. I'm not changing the price. I want everyone to be able to access it because I think it's so important.
That's a one-time expense?
Yeah, one-time great, payment. Great. Yeah. It's just and it's self-led. So you just do it every day. You have all the mm-hmm. videos. You have access to any of the little things that I add to it. And it's powerful. So just try it out if you're interested.
It is. And I just want to say thank you. We met on Instagram. Yeah. You or your team had reached out mm-hmm. to me, and I got to experience your app. And so I'm really grateful, and I would highly recommend it if anybody's curious and wants just some guidance mm-hmm. around that, or just start anywhere, you know, whatever. So mm-hmm. thank you so much, Elise.
Thank you, Amy.
And everybody can find that at Fabulously Spiritual, or they can follow you at Fabulously_Spiritual. And that, of course, is mm-hmm. the app, and everything's there on your Instagram, I believe, mm-hmm. right?
Yes. Yeah, it is.
Yes.
It is. Perfect.
Oh, thank you so much, Elise. It's been really enlightening and wonderful. And I'm really grateful. Thank you for all that you shared today, and wishing you so much success and whatever it's supposed to be on your book.
Like, thank you, Amy.
Obviously, I love the title. It's like, it's like I dreamed it. I was like, what's happening? So anyway, everyone, thank you so much for joining us today. Be sure and follow Elise, check these things out and give it a try. I mean, like she said, you know, sometimes it's just experimenting. It's these self experiments. Like she was trying out, okay, how quick can I be resilient? How quickly can I come back to these practices and stuff? And those are what keeps life interesting sometimes, right? And we really discover things about ourselves. So thank you so much for being here. Please rate, review, subscribe, all those things. If you're not subscribed to the newsletter, I invite you to. I share it once a week, and you can get burst info on all these episodes. So it's at amyedwards.info is everything that you need. So thank you so much. Thank you to Elise Recupero and Fabulously Spiritual for being here today. And thank you to you. Till next time.
This has been the Amy Edwards Show from Overcome Studios. Remember to rate, review, and subscribe. And thank you so much for being here. Sign up for our newsletter at amyedwards.com.